D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful Thursday. Yet another gorgeous day in our fair city. 2 hours with you today. We will take you right up to Predators pregame. That's where Willie is. He's in Montreal, where the Predators will face the Canadiens tonight. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5 The Game. Elliot Freeman will join us an hour earlier at 4 o'clock. Mitch Light of The Athletic will join us at 3:40 to help us preview, the weekend in college football. But since we only have 2 hours, we're going to get started right away. How many of you have tried online dating? Raise your hand. I know Willie and Derek aren't raising their hands because they're old. Both of them.
Very old.
Both of them still take pictures of their computer screens with their cell phones. So I don't trust them to know how to operate a dating app. But I've done online dating. I met my wife on a dating app. No shame in that. But most of you know how those apps work. You see a profile. You scan the person's interests, their photos. And if you like them, you swipe right. It's as simple as that. So we are going to start today's show by playing Titans head coach Tinder or Bumble or Hinge. Take your pick. By the way, I met my wife on Bumble, so shout out to Bumble.
There you go.
We are going to build our ideal candidate for the next Titans coach. So I am not asking for specific names. So don't call or text at 615-737-1025 and say, Mike McCarthy. I'm not asking for a specific name. I want to know which attributes must the next coach of the Tennessee Titans have. What are our non-negotiables? We all have red flags, right? I want you to play along with us. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I want you to build your ideal candidate for the next Titans coach. Which attributes must he have? What are your non-negotiables? While we await your responses, who wants to start? Derek, you've got your notebook out.
Yeah.
I gave you a homework assignment. I want to hear what you're looking for in the Titans head coach, and I want to know your non-negotiables.
My non-negotiable, let's just get straight to that. Because, you know, there's only so much you can ask of your head coach. You know, there are some organizations that may want you to do a little bit more, but the requirements are there. And you should, you know, be able to walk in confidently knowing that, you know, you are basically check off all the boxes. So my non-negotiables, I don't want a college coach. No college coach at all. I don't care how many championships he's won. I do not want someone that has never been a head coach in this league. So no college coaches. Franklin, no. I love Coach Lee, and he would probably do a great job. But with this team, no, not with this team. For this reason with him, I don't want this to be a stain on his record. I don't want him to have to be the one to try to dig this franchise out of what they're in. So, and if it don't happen, I don't want that on his blemish. Because right now, he is the best coach around here. Let's just put it that way. I love Coach Corbin, too. But, I mean, what he's done with that program in the time he's been there, yes. He's the front. He's the guy in the front. But yeah, I don't want no college coaches. I don't want to be McVay or Shanahan. I don't want that guy either. Don't give me that. Don't try to do what they do. Come in with your own ideas.
So let me just get this straight.
Yes.
Your non-negotiables. It cannot be someone from the college ranks.
Nobody from the college ranks.
Okay. And what was the second one?
I don't want you to be a wannabe McVay or Shanahan.
Okay.
Like, do your thing. Like, you could have come from the tree. Don't mind. But have your own ideas how you're going to put this together. Callahan showed you that maybe he didn't have his own idea or the best idea. I want somebody that has been in that role before. Okay, so I don't want those, So for me is must have experience being a head coach. This team is too much of a work in progress for them to be bringing on a first-time head coach again. They ain't got time for that. Borghazi doesn't have time for that. Because if it don't work, guess who's out? Borghazi. So he doesn't have time for a guy to learn on the job. He needs someone that has already been on that job. I don't want somebody just calling plays. I don't. Don't want a coach calling plays.
On either side of the ball.
Now, he may know how to call it. Like, if he's a defensive guy, he may understand it. But, no, don't call the plays. I don't. Concentrate on the team first. And if there is a need for you to interject, do it. You're the head coach. But the guys that I've seen with the most success, Fisher, Harbaugh, guys like that, Nick, they delegated stuff. Yeah, they still had their hand in a little bit of it, but they delegated things. They got the best person for that job to do it. Why? So they can be the CEO of a team. So I don't want you calling plays on either side of the ball, okay? Has to be able to work with a young quarterback. He has to. I'm not saying you got to be coaching him, but I saw the way that Mac and Fisher, their relationship. I saw Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh's relationship. That's what you need to have. You need to be able to have that type of relationship with your quarterback. Again, I said no college coaches. You have to have a staff ready, in place, guys that you know that are ready to get the job done, guys with experience. I don't want no first-time assistant coaches like running my special teams or being the offensive coordinator or being the defensive coordinator. I need guys that have done it and has been successful at doing it. There's a lot of other things I can say on here because I got about 5 or 6 more things, but I'm going to let Willie take over now.
Here's what I've learned. Derek Mason is picky.
He has to be a good communicator too.
Okay.
Has to be. Because the last guy really wasn't a good communicator. This guy has to have some Campbell inning, some Tomlin, some Vrabel, a guy that can stand up, some Harbaugh, a guy that can stand up and communicate with everybody.
So quickly, before we get Willie's ideal candidate, let's do a quick recap of yours. There's a lot of stuff there, Derek Mason. I appreciate how thorough you are when putting together your ideal Titans head coach. Let's do a quick recap. Can't be a college coach.
No.
You don't want someone who is calling plays.
No.
You don't want any offensive whiz kid types.
No.
Like Mike McDaniel or yes. Sean McVay or what we were sold with Brian Callahan. Mm-hmm. You want someone who's an effective communicator.
Yes.
Someone who can work with a young quarterback mm-hmm. and someone who will bring in an experienced staff
yes.
that can command respect of the locker room.
Absolutely.
That's quite a list. Willie, mm-hmm. let's bring you in. You've got a lot to work with here. Derek brought it. Very picky, Derek Mason. What are your ideal attributes for the next Titans head coach? What are your non-negotiables?
I've got two that are non-negotiable. One, he's got to be a leader. And look, I know one thing you don't do in past relationships is compare your current somebody with the past mm-hmm. somebody. But what was Mike Vrabel's best attribute? What is Mike Vrabel? He's a leader. He rallies people. He connects people. Brian Callahan, unfortunately, did not have that trait. I think it's pretty clear. That was something he realized he needed to get better at, but he never really captured and had the team playing for him. That, I think, gets lost sometimes when you're interviewing the hot up-and-coming play caller or offensive mind, et cetera. So leader, connector, et cetera, the presence. And then the other part I'm going to say is builder. That's my number two. I would like somebody who has built an NFL team from the ground up, that has been through the process, that is going to be very, very difficult for this particular team. It's one thing to be George Seifert coming in for the great Bill Walsh and taking over the keys of an unbelievably talented team. Or another example would have been Barry Switzer took over the Cowboys after Jerry Jones. He got handed the keys to a loaded franchise that had won. You're going to start on the bottom floor with this group. I'd love to see somebody who has gone through it somewhere else and can understand what it's going to take to build from the ground up. So those are my two. A leader who can build a culture, who can connect people, rally them, and then a builder, somebody who has gone through a process of taking a team from the bottom to the top.
I have one non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. Just one. No non-play calling offensive coordinators. If your resume says, I worked with but didn't call plays for a star quarterback, you're out. You're out. Like, if I am in charge of this decision and I see a resume like the one that Brian Callahan had, you're out. You're not even getting an interview. No non-play calling offensive coordinators. It does not work. Now, sometimes it works. But most of the time, it does not work. Remember Nathaniel Hackett? Nathaniel Hackett was Aaron Rodgers' offensive coordinator in Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken, but didn't call plays in Green Bay, then went to Denver, and he stunk. He stunk. We just witnessed it with Brian Callahan. Remember the news release when the Titans hired Brian Callahan? Well, you know, he worked with Peyton Manning, and he worked with Derek Carr, and he worked with Matthew Stafford. I don't care. If you are an offensive coordinator in the NFL who does not call plays, don't even bother sending in your resume. That is my one non-negotiable. No non-play calling offensive coordinators. Will not make that same mistake twice. The other things I've noted. I prefer previous head coaching experience, but it is not a prerequisite. Mm-hmm. So you say, Derek Mason, that you want someone with previous head coaching experience.
Yes.
I would prefer someone with previous head coaching experience, but I will not disqualify you if you have never been a head coach. I will also consider college head coaching experience. So if you're working in the NFL and you were a college head coach at some point, I will consider that. So I prefer head coaching experience in the NFL or in college, mostly the NFL, but it is not a prerequisite. My other thing is he does not have to be a play caller on either side of the ball, mm-hmm. nor does he have to be some sort of offensive savant. So I look at Washington, for example. Mm-hmm. Does Dan Quinn call the defense in Washington?
I'm not sure.
I don't know the answer to that. But Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury seem to have a good thing going on mm-hmm. in Washington. And I know that sometimes fans get scared about not having a play-calling head coach because another team can just scoop him up, right? Like Cliff mm-hmm. Kingsbury is going to get a ton of interviews in this next head coaching cycle because of the work he's done with Jaden Daniels. I heard Rex Rhodes say this the other day. The Titans should want to be in a position where teams think so highly of your coaches that they are granting them interviews. Mm-hmm. So I'm not scared off by that. So my ideal coach does not need to be a play caller. He does not need to be an offensive whiz kid or anything like that. But again, my one non-negotiable, Derek, mm-hmm. no non-play calling offensive coordinators. We're not doing that again.
I'm with you because in this business, it moves so fast. And if you're trying to – and I get it in some situations that, you know, some guys are you know, in depth or adapt to, you know, going as, you know, learning fast and going as it goes. Some guys are able to do that, and some guys are not. I don't want to be caught on the side of, they are not. Just because they're the next hot guy and they call plays or this and that. No, I want somebody because this team is in a situation that it has not been in a very long time. I don't even, at least to my knowledge, because I wasn't here for a period of time as well. This team is so depleted with talent. I can't look at the owner and if she made a decision to say, I'm going with a guy that has no coaching experience, I couldn't look at her and say, I'm supporting it. It's just your team is in a position that it's never been in. And you need someone that has been in it before that understands. He doesn't have to, you know, be a former coach that has, you know, more wins than losses. But he has to be a guy that has been through the ebbs and flows. Why do you think the L.A. Rams, the St. Louis Rams, when they moved from St. Louis to L.A., why they kept Jeff Fisher? Because Jeff been through it. He understood it. Was he the winningest coach ever? No. But he's been through those trials, those ups and downs, and he knew how to handle it. It didn't go the way they thought it was going to go when they moved, but he knew how to handle it. I want somebody that knows how to handle that. And like Willie said, somebody that knows how to build a team, because this team needs building. I don't need a new, fresh, hot, young thing coming in young, ready to go. No, I need somebody that had a family before, somebody that understands, you know, what it took to raise kids and has those scars. That's what I need.
By the way, it has been brought to my attention that Dan Quinn does not call the defensive plays.
Well, there you go. But Dan Quinn, he's been through those ups and downs.
I really think that has become a trend that is way overrated. Oh, you've got to call we've got to get the hot shot because the coordinator, if you have a good coordinator, somebody's going to take your coordinator and he takes your offense. That's a good problem. Mm-hmm. So it's way more important to have a leader than it is to have an X's and O person. And, Derek, I couldn't agree more. That's why I say builder, somebody who has been through a building process. This probably is not a job for somebody that is a first-time head coach. They are too low and sunk down in a hole. This is a job for somebody that has been through a building process successfully and has experience in doing so. And those guys aren't easy to find, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually easy to find the up-and-coming guy. Hey, so-and-so was the coordinator over here, and they won a Super Bowl. Let's get him. And he's off the family tree of so-and-so. They've got a really good system and track record. That's the easy way. The hard one, I think, is for the specific job of this job, which is your team's at the bottom. Your team has lost identity. Your team has no players. You may have to lose for another couple of years before you get it right. And that's a special job. And and if you don't get it right, you're just going to be going through the next guy in 2 years, right? And you get into a vicious cycle. And we've seen it happen to the Lions for decades. I saw it growing up happen with the Buccaneers for decades. It's hard to get out of it once you get in it if you don't have the right guy. Think of this guy. Think of what Tony Dungy did to change the culture of the Buccaneers after a while. Like, there's a certain personality you're looking for, and I think that is the key trait that you want. Who's the guy that's going to be a game changer?
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. We are playing Head Coach Tinder /Bumble/Hinge. /OKCupid/JDate/Farmers Only, whatever dating site you want to discuss.
That many? Good Lord.
There's a lot.
Are a lot of dating sites, Derek Mason. Head Coach Match. I can't think of any other ones. I'll Google it during the break. 615-737-1025. We are going to build, we have already done it. Now we want you to do it. Build your ideal candidate for the next Titans head coach. Which attributes must he have? What are your non-negotiables? 615-737-1025. We will get to your reaction. Coming up next, if you are headed to Nissan Stadium for the Titans game this Sunday, stop by John Bon Jovi's before For pregame with 102.5 The Game, JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer and cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. The pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. That was the Athletic Football Show discussing what we are discussing. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are playing Titans head coach Tinder / Hinge / Bumble / OKCupid / eHarmony / Raya / Farmers Only / Match / Plenty of Fish / Day Date / Christian Mingle.
It's a lot of them.
There are way too many dating apps. You guys are learning so much today. I'm bringing you into this century, talking about all of these dating apps. And this is what I want from all of you at 615-737-1025. I want you to tell me which attributes that the new Tennessee Titans head coach must have. Do you have any non-negotiables? For example, my non-negotiable. Derek Mason has multiple non-negotiables. Talking about dating, Derek Mason, probably incredibly picky. My one non-negotiable. No non-play calling offensive coordinators. If you send me a resume as an OC and you don't call the plays, go do something else. I am not interested. So that's my non-negotiable. You let me know. 615-737-1025. Let's start with Mike on our phone line. Mike, thank you so much for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was listening to you, D. Mason. You were spot on with the things you were saying. And look, there's a guy right down the road on Concord Road near Governor's Club, Coach Rex Ryan. You want to bring somebody in that would politely or maybe not so politely let the folks in the main office know to stay in the main office and let him do his job, let him hire a kick butt offensive coordinator to take care of Cam and the offense. But bringing somebody in like Rex Ryan that would stop all this craziness and this nonsense might make sense. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Mike. Rex Ryan. He was your coach for a minute.
Yes, he was my coach for a cup of coffee and a bagel. That's it.
Coffee and bagel is also a dating app.
Oh yeah, is it?
Yes.
Oh, goodness gracious! There we go.
Bing. Did you do that on purpose?
No, I didn't. I didn't know coffee and bagel.
It's coffee meets bagel.
Oh, coffee meets bagel.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
But it kind of fell in line, didn't it? That's how good we are as a show.
Yes.
We do things and we don't even know it.
Yes.
There you go. But listen, I'm not going to sit here and lie. My experience with Rex was great in Baltimore. My experience with Rex in the Jets, it wasn't so good. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, say that he would be number one on my list or number two. Has Rex been through the fire as a head coach? I would say yes. He had two back-to-back, I think it was back-to-back AFC championship years. But then that whole thing just completely fell apart, and it was like he couldn't put it together. Like, he was the leader. He, for whatever reason, he couldn't keep that together or put it together, and they end up firing him. So I wouldn't disqualify Rex, but he wouldn't be one or two on my list as far as individuals. Now, what I know what Rex will do is get that defense straight, and I think if you hire him, he may keep a guy like Denard Wilson because – Denard Wilson comes from the Baltimore family, and I'm sure they've had, you know, interactions with one another. So I guarantee you one thing, that defense will be much better under Rex Ryan.
Willie, I think I may have found another non-negotiable. No huge gaps in the resume.
Yeah,
Rex Ryan hasn't coached in the NFL since 2016.
Yeah.
So I think I'll add that to the non-negotiable list.
I didn't even think about the last time he was coaching.
It's been 10 years since Rex Ryan coached in the NFL. So I think I may add that on top of my other non-negotiable of no non-play calling offensive coordinators.
Yeah, that's something to look at. I don't know if I would make it a disqualifier. I think one thing I would think about in the name of not blowing the whole thing up, I do think, just to sort of go back to the sound clip that we just played, do you take an offensive mind because you have that quarterback? To me, it's overrated to say you've got to have an offensive minded coach because you've got this quarterback. I think there's an argument. If you have the right leader, it could be any kind of coach. And I think there's an argument, taking it a step further, that you could keep the offensive terminology and system because you already have it in place, rather than to throw a whole new book, a new language at Cam Ward, where some hotshot comes in and says, I've got the other. You've been doing it all wrong. I need to teach Cam a whole new language. This is how we're going to get Cam to the next level. I think there's an argument you may just keep the foundation that you have, tweak it, put better players around him, and just take the best leader to be the head coach. Mm-hmm. That's my thought. So I wouldn't think it's a disqualifier. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. To bring a guy in who says, I'm going to keep the offensive coaches. I'm going to keep the system. I don't want Cam Ward learning something new. But I'm going to lead this team better, and we're going to build this roster.
That depends on how they do the remainder of the season. You know, if Cam starts to develop now that Bo Hardegree and Mike McCoy are a tandem and there's not these other four or five or six other voices, and you see that he's developing, then yeah, you would probably want to keep, if you keep McCoy probably will want to keep Bo Hardegree, because there's some familiarity in there with Cam and with both you two. So I'm not opposed to that, but I do believe there possibly needs to be some changes on this coaching staff. I know one guy you just cannot change. I don't care who comes in.
Bones Fossil.
Yes, Bones Fossil. You got to keep him, you know, no matter what. So everybody else, I mean, it just depends on how the season goes from here on out.
Let's get to your reaction on our text line. Sonny says, I agree with a lot of what y'all have said. For me, it would be proof of playing a primary role in developing a unit. For example, taking a team from 3 wins to making the playoffs, a coordinator taking a side of the ball from bottom of the league to one of the best, or even taking a quarterback to an all-pro level. Let's see, who else? Derek, somebody asked if you would take Nick Saban. You said no college coaches, but he's done both. I don't think Nick Saban's not coaching.
Nick has.
I don't think he's coaching again.
NFL experience. I'm not sure that. I say that Nick's been so far removed from the pro game that I'm not sure if he would even want to do it, you know? And how successful will he be with a team like this? And he's been out of it, you know, for a few years. Or at least out of coaching, but he's been out of the NFL for, hell, what, 15 years, somewhere around there?
It's been a while
years.
Since he coached in the NFL. Steven on our text line says, D-Mace is wrong talking about your list of attributes. What he is requiring is called currently employed. The guys who fit his requirements don't come around often. More times than not, teams have to take a shot on a guy.
And that texture is right. I'm not saying he's wrong, but those are my qualifications. And there is somebody out there. Now, once you get into the interview process, even though he has those things that I want, I now got to talk to him. And if we have a conversation, say like, because the one guy, it's two guys that fit sort of that mold for me right now. That's Mike McCoy, who has the job, and McCarthy, who doesn't have a job. Both of those guys fit what I'm talking about. You bring them in, you talk to them, you know? Both of those guys are going to want a head coaching job. Now, they may do more interviewing you than you are interviewing them, but those are two guys. And there are other guys out there, but I'm just thinking those are two guys right now that don't have, well, one doesn't have a job and one has an interim job. So those are two guys that I would look at and say if I'm looking for a coach, those would be sort of like the avatars of coaches.
One texter says the ideal coach needs to wear a hoodie and have a younger girlfriend. Younger girlfriend. Let's add that to the non-negotiables.
Exactly. I think Adam would just, he would leave the state of Tennessee.
I think I said the other day that I would quit if Bill Belichick was the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Oh, man. No, thank you. Most texters have said, guys, that the next head coach must have previous head coaching experience. Mm-hmm. And there are always going to be those hot, young, up-and-coming coordinators out there. Joe Brady's getting a lot of love right now. Jesse Minter is getting a lot of love right now. I know that everybody wants the next big thing because it worked with Sean McVay, mm-hmm. 10 years ago? And he's been a fabulous coach. Mm-hmm. But Sean McVay is a rarity. There's a reason why there's only so many Sean McVays out there. There aren't very many. So I know that a lot of Titans fans want that guy. The Titans thought Brian Callahan could be that guy. Of course, he wasn't that guy. So I'm not willing to take a chance on one of those guys. Again, I prefer previous head coaching experience. It's not a prerequisite, but I would prefer head coaching experience. I will take college head coaching experience. Derek, you said no one from the college ranks.
Yeah, no one.
What if someone is coaching in the NFL who was previously a college head coach?
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll allow that.
Yes.
But you're not hiring someone who is actively a college head coach.
No.
What if
his last job was a college job and he doesn't have a job right now? I don't want that coach. I don't want nobody in college. Now, if you've had some college experience, but now you are in the NFL in the X amount of years, yeah, okay, you know how you've been around. You understand how it works. But still, I want you to have head coaching experience.
So, like Matt Rhule, he's out of it.
Yeah, Matt Rhule's out. He's out. It flopped. Who was he with? Carolina. It flopped big time.
Yeah.
I mean, big time. He didn't even have a chance to work himself out of it.
Quickly, Thomas in Hendersonville says, why would you disqualify a play-calling head coach? Just because it didn't work with Callahan doesn't mean that it won't work, especially if they target someone that has actually called plays before. Their mistake was bringing in a head coach that had never called plays and expecting him to run the offense and meet the needs of being a head coach. I personally do not require the next head coach to be a play caller on either side of the ball. Mm-hmm. If the potential coach has called plays, great. I'm just telling you, Thomas and others, that if the person's current job is a non-play calling OC, they're out.
Okay, this may answer your question.
Okay.
If you are wanting this job, and this is going to be on the flyer, if you are wanting this job as head coach of the Tennessee Titans, and you want to call plays too, please do not apply. I'm not saying that you could have never called plays in your life, but if you want to be head coach and play caller, do not apply. We will not look at your resume at all. I'm telling you front hand. I need somebody that's about this team getting, because this team needs, this is not about schematics. This team, it needs a change.
Agree.
So just hire the best guy for the job. There are going to be guys out there. Hire the best guy for the job. But I want somebody that is going to be a coach.
Before we go to break, let me just read to you a quote from Jonathan Jones's story on CBSSports.com, looking behind the scenes at everything that went wrong with the Titans with Brian Callahan. From a team source to Jonathan Jones, quote, we had a head coach trying to be an offensive coordinator, but he had to learn how to be a head coach first. We needed a head coach more than we needed a play caller.
They're telling you that right there.
That I completely agree with that unnamed team source. 615-737-1025. Mitch Light of The Athletic will join us next as we preview the weekend ahead in college football. 615-737-1025. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week, Commanders versus Cowboys at 325 on 94.9 The Fan. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. The Commodores will take on LSU this Saturday. Pregame begins at 9:30 on 102.5 The Game. Kickoff is at 11. Vanderbilt Football is brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingham here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line by Mitch Light of The Athletic to help us preview the weekend ahead in college football. And Mitch, let's start with that matchup between LSU and Vanderbilt. I mentioned this on the show yesterday. This is astounding. This is the first time the Commodores have been favored versus LSU since 1948. Where does Vanderbilt have the advantage in this matchup?
Good afternoon, Adam. And to be fair, not that Vanderbilt has not played LSU a ton. It's not like it's one of those matchups where they played every year over the years. But still, a surprising stat, and there's been a lot of those good ones out. Where does Vanderbilt have the edge? I think Vanderbilt's defense versus LSU's offense, even though the strength of Vanderbilt has probably been its own offense. LSU's struggles have been well chronicled. What is it? They haven't scored more than 20 points against an FBS opponent. I don't have their schedule right in front of me. Garrett Nussmeier has not been the quarterback we thought he could be. He's been banged up. The receiving core hasn't been as good. I think we made some assumptions with LSU in the offseason. They did replace four NFL draft picks on the offensive line. They're not running the ball well. They're not really committing to the run. Fewest attempts in the SEC. So I think if Vanderbilt can continue to make LSU one-dimensional, don't let the running game get going, which that happened a little bit against Alabama. Remember, Alabama had not been running the ball well, but they did run the ball with some success against Vanderbilt. Because Nussmeier is perfectly capable. We know what his talent is. So I think Vanderbilt's defense has to do a very good job against LSU's running game.
Now, Mitch, one of two, and you can throw, three, because I think that's a marquee game with LSU and Vandy. But the other two marquee games I'm looking at, one of them, Tennessee, Alabama. Are you surprised that the spread is 7.5? And where does the loser go from here?
The spread, I probably would have guessed 6.5 under a touchdown, but not really, because I think Alabama has a lot of momentum, and a lot of betting spreads are based on public perception, and Alabama is still a very popular team, and they've won three straight games against ranked teams, and Ty Simpson is playing as well as any quarterback in the country. And I think some people have not soured on Joey Aguilar, that's not the right term, but not as high on him as early in the year. And they did give up a bunch of points and yards to Arkansas. So it's obviously a very important game. The problem with Alabama's resume is they've got these good wins, these good quality wins, which the committee says they favor the quality wins and the good teams you beat. But that Florida State loss, is looking worse and worse and could drag them down as the year progresses. So I'm not going to sit here and say this is a must win for both teams. I guess you'd say it's more important for Alabama because they're at home. Like if you're Tennessee and you've lost a overtime game at home to Georgia and at Alabama, assuming they don't lose, get blown out, I don't think that's a season ender by any stretch. But obviously very important game for both programs.
Now, you said some have soured on Aguilar. If he does have one of those games where, that we've seen at the beginning of the season where it seems like everything clicking on offense.
Yeah.
If he has one of those games, can he be now back in the conversation as far as the Heisman Trophy? And then conversely to that, Ty Simpson, if he has another big game, does he now skyrocket as the number one on everybody's list as far as Heisman?
Well, I think so for Simpson. I think him and Mendoza were the betting favorites this week, and he has been terrific the past few weeks. And Aguilar, sure. You go down to Tuscaloosa, you win. You're Tennessee. You win for the first time in a long time down there. He's going to have a big game. So I think he would be definitely back in the mix there. Right now, Simpson, like I said, Simpson and Mendoza would have to be considered the favorites.
Mitch Light is with us from The Athletic. Mitch, Ole Miss at Georgia. Ole Miss has got to feel pretty good having beaten Georgia last year. We know the rosters turn over every year. There's a lot of new guys. I don't know how relevant it is maybe to past years where you maybe didn't have quite as much. But let's look at that matchup. I am surprised a little bit that Georgia is this much of a favorite.
Yeah, it's interesting because this is Trinidad Chambliss's first road game. And I don't know, you know, we had a feature on him in The Athletic. I think it ran yesterday. Division II transfer from Ferris State, basically signed with Ole Miss to be a backup. Austin Simmons was going to be the guy. Simmons has been hurt. Chambliss has been terrific. Wasn't as good last week. But how does he handle his first road start? You know, he was not the starting quarterback when they played at Kentucky. This is a guy that's probably used to playing on the road in front of, like, 1,000 people at most. He's going to play in Athens this week. It's an entirely different animal, which you cannot prepare for. You know, Ole Miss has been good. They've been consistently good. You know, they were very sluggish last week against Washington State. They still put up good offensive numbers, but the sluggish performance. The thing about Georgia that's been impressive, you know, we can all agree this is not a vintage Georgia team. This is not as good as the national championship teams. No one in college football is that good this year. But they've been very good in the second half. They're outscoring opponents 41-7 in the third quarter. We saw that last week at Auburn. They took the, you know, they seized momentum controversially, but they seized momentum and they dominated that second half. So I'm interested to see if they can keep that going at home, because they have not been, you know, they have not been the most consistent offensive team. They've shown signs of life, but they have not really been consistent.
Do you think Texas started to get it right? Is Texas a team that could be much better in the second half of the season than they were in the first half?
I think so. I mean, it's easy to say. We live in such a week-to-week, environment in college football. Arch did some good things. You know, he missed some throws. There was one specific. He had a guy open in the end zone. He just threw it too late. But he also made some great throws. Their defense was very good. Their defense has been good all year statistically. It's like they've given up 14.7 points, 10 points, 0 points, then 29 to Florida, which is just – that one sticks out like a sore thumb, and then 6 points. So they've been really good. They go to Kentucky, and they go to Mississippi State. So, you know, they're going to be favored in both those games. So they're going to kind of get their momentum back before they get ready for the stretch run, which includes right now a ranked Vanderbilt team at Georgia and then Arkansas and Texas A&M. So their season, despite two losses, far from done. I mean, if with one of your losses is at Ohio State – by 7 points, and we can all agree that we think Ohio State's probably the best team in the country, that is not that big of a wart on your resume.
One more question about the Vanderbilt game, Mitch, not from an X's and O's standpoint, but having been over there last week, I got a chance to look closely at their basketball facility, which actually doubles as a multi-purpose facility, so it's some high-end seating for one of the end zones of the football stadium. It's pretty interesting use of space. But everything looks so different over there. The first two games that Vanderbilt played at home were games that they should have won, but the atmosphere was better than those games generally are. It looks so much different. What do you think the makeup of the crowd will look like on Saturday, especially with an 11 a.m. start?
That's a good question. I mean, it's sold out. It's been announced it's sold out. My guess is still there will be a lot of LSU fans. You know, when it was announced sold out so early in the year, I think it was like a month ago, that probably means that a lot of LSU fans snapped up tickets. I think clearly this team has generated, there's more support, there's more interest, there's more people talking Vanderbilt football. I think what needs to happen next as far as the crowd is more season tickets. You sell more season tickets, then you're going to have more people for these SEC games. I think you had large walk-up crowds for the first three home games, large week of the game crowds. But if the season tickets are snapped up and sold on the secondary market. So my guess is for these, for the Auburn game, for the LSU game, there'll still be a lot of opposing fans would be my guess. But I guess we'll find out tomorrow morning.
Mitch Light of The Athletic has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donicky. Joins us every Thursday to help us preview college football. Mitch, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
All right, talk to you guys next week. See ya.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, will join us. The Predators are back in action in just a couple of hours against the Montreal Canadiens. And we'll look around the NHL with Elliot Freeman. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Tomorrow from noon to 3, Chase and Big Joe will be broadcasting live from Boston Commons in East Nashville. And we'll have some Predators tickets to give away. It is going to be an action-packed sports weekend in Nashville, topped by Mike Vrabel and the Patriots coming to town. So start your weekend off right and hang with Chase and Big Joe tomorrow at Boston Commons in East Nashville.